and welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and Security podcast where a pair of industry veterans talk about all matters digital certificates and PKI. I'm Tim Callen, Senior Fellow at Sigtigo, and I'm joined, of course, by my co-host Jason Sirocco, CTO of PKI at Sigtigo. How are you doing today, Jason?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
So today, we want to talk about the different, what I would call, domain scope choices that are available for SSL certificates. And what I mean by domain scope is I mean, what's the extent of the domain names that a single certificate can cover? And really in this world, there are, nomenclature-wise, there are three choices. People talk about, you get a single domain certificate, you get a multi-domain certificate, and you get a wildcard certificate. And I think we should define those, and we should discuss how they can be used well, and maybe how they are misused, and what the pros and cons are of each.
Sure, Tim. Hey, let's get right down to real world scenario of I'm running a website. I've got it could be a complex set of pages. It might not be, but probably if you're contemplating using a multi certificate of some kind or a wildcard certificate, you probably are using different subdomains. And
yes,
these certificates would then obviously cover those subdomains with a single certificate, which is awfully handy if you're quite often changing your subdomains, perhaps, because you don't have to then get another certificate for every different subdomain that you're creating. So there's definitely advantages to it, Tim, but there's disadvantages.
Right. So just so everybody's aware who's listening to this, from the SSL world, each subdomain is considered to be its own domain. So yoursite.com is not the same thing as shop.yoursite.com. Those are considered to be separate. And so originally, back in the very early days, you got a cert for each. You got a cert for shop.com and or yoursite.com and a cert for shop.yoursite.com. And the industry realized that this made things difficult in a lot of ways, especially if you wanted to be able to serve these different domains up from the same server. And so we invented the quality of a SAN, a subject alternate name. And so the basic name, we call it an FQDN, a fully qualified domain name, is the basic domain name that the cert has. And every cert must have an FQDN, every SSL cert, or it's not an SSL cert, right? It's not connected to a domain name. But you can connect that to other domain names, and you do that using the quote-unquote SAN field. And in principle, the number of SANs you can have is very high. So sometimes people call these SAN certs, or sometimes they call them multi-domain certs. We call them multi-domain is our product name at Sigtigo, but a lot of people just call them quote-unquote SAN certs. We don't, because it's a little bit of a misnomer. But the number of SANs you can have in principle is very high. And that means that in principle, you could have lots of different domains. And then the other thing about it is these don't even need to be all the same subdomains. They're just SAN fields. So in principle, I could have mysite.com as the FQDN, and then I could have shop.yoursite.com in a SAN. So that makes it even more complex. Kind of at a high level definition, we say a single domain cert is a cert that's just for mysite.com. A multi-domain cert is a cert with SAN fields that expand it to other domains beyond that. And then there's what's called a wildcard. And how a wildcard works is a wildcard covers the main domain name, mysite.com, and all subdomains. And the way we write that down is asterisk wildcard dot mysite.com. And that cert will work for the top level, just good old-fashioned mysite.com, and it will also work for any subdomain on mysite.com. And so those are the three basic definitions that people use when they talk about, again, what I'm calling domain certs, certificate sites based on domains, although in reality it gets a little more complex than that, and we'll probably explain that a little later in this podcast. So with that kind of groundwork, you were going to say there are some pros and cons, Jay.
Yeah, there's definitely some pros and cons, Tim. I guess the worry, if you want to just address it, is that these kinds of multi-domain certificates that have multiple SANs, described as you said, as well as wild card certificates are potentially being overused right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely the worry, right? Is you say, oh, goody, I'm going to stuff 300 sands into the cert. And that way, instead of having to think about 300 certs, I have to think about one.
Yeah, you're right, Tim. So, you know, in terms of security, let's back up all the way to the beginning. In terms of security, quite often we like to think about things in terms of whitelists and blacklists. Like, for example, we've talked about the CAA, we've talked about the CT logs. It's interesting in that those are essentially forms of whitelisting that we have in this industry, where you basically are explicitly stating, here are the CAs I want to be able to deal with, and if a certificate gets issued from something else, don't allow it. And with the CT logs, it's visibility into what actually has been issued in my domain. And so those are really handy and good things. The problem with wildcard, and the problem with multi-domains is, and wildcard perhaps especially, is that, think about, Tim, how many times you've read about site compromises. It's just, it's unfortunately very common, and for various reasons, and that perhaps that's several podcasts into itself. But if you cannot yourself track the number of subdomains that perhaps are being created maliciously for purposes of phishing attacks or something else, those maliciously created subdomains are going to be inherently trusted because of a wildcard certificate, for example.
Absolutely, right. I mean, one of the benefits of a wildcard certificate is that I don't have to know all the subdomains that I'm going to use when I issue the certificate. So if I issue a multi-domain cert, let's say I'm using, you know, four subdomains. I got mysite.com, shop.mysite.com, cart.mysite.com, and login.mysite.com. I go, okay, great. I go and I get a multi-domain cert and I've got those four covered. And then I wake up one day and I realize that I want to do something new. I want to have a chat function. And I want to have chat.mysite.com. And all of a sudden, I have to swap out a cert. It's one more list of things I need to do. I need to get a new MDC that's now 5 big instead of 4 big. I need to get rid of the old one and put in the new one, right? But if I have a wild card, I don't. I just stand up the new subdomain and it just plain works. So that's pretty killer. If you're an IT administrator, you like that. It's one less thing on the task list. It's one less potential error that is going to prevent your site from going live when you want it to go live. It's agility, right? It's speed to market. All of these things are good. And that's kind of a simple example, but what if it's much, much more complex than that, right?
Yeah, in a perfect world, right? It's all good. It's all good. Why wouldn't we only use that? Because then we wouldn't have to plan ahead, right? It's fantastic.
Right. But it's also agility and speed to market for the bad guy in the scenario you just described, right?
That's right. So in other words, a site compromise where a bad guy is going to set up subdomains without you knowing it, and then those subdomains will be trusted inherently. Because, you know, that's just, it's a brand new, fully qualified domain name created maliciously that just will be trusted. But then, of course, Tim, the second half of this is key compromise, which is if that very important key gets compromised, that certificate somehow gets in the hands of somebody it shouldn't, all of a sudden, a revocation of that, boy, oh boy, the ability for you to have put your feet up on the desk and not have to worry about all creating your own subdomains all of a sudden has cost you. So it's all good in a perfect world where bad guys don't exist. Unfortunately, that's not where we live.
Yeah. So if we have a little thought experiment, you say, well, why wouldn't you just get one cert and put it on every single server you have? And it's easy to say, well, you wouldn't want to do that. Well, why wouldn't you want to do that? Well, there's no granularity there, right? If there's a problem, then that problem affects everything you have. The scope is really huge. If there's a problem you don't know about, then somebody's got the keys to the entire kingdom. If there's a problem you do know about, you have to blow up the entire kingdom, right? You can't go and you can't laser shoot. There's one cert. I'm going to replace this one cert. That one cluster or that one server is going to be down until I get that done, right? That is not available anymore, right? So that's why we wouldn't take the same cert and stick it across all of our different servers. Well, once you start to get into these scenarios where you're like you say, overusing wildcards or multi-domain certs, that's more or less what you're doing. And so this is, you know, what level's the right number of domains? Hugely situational, and a lot of it depends on the value of what's being certified, you know, what's being covered. A lot of it depends on your chops as an organization and how agile you can be and how quickly and accurately you can make these changes. And I think a lot of it depends on your risk profile. But definitely the more that you extend your multi-domain cert or your wildcard, the more your risk goes up and the more responsibility you're taking to be able to deal with the certificate management needs in an extremely crypto agile fashion, and the more responsibility you're taking for the rest of your security to be up to snuff.
So from a pragmatic standpoint, Tim, perhaps what we're suggesting here, I don't think anybody in the modern age has a static website, you know, just a very simplistic static website. And if you have that, well, then perhaps, you know, you don't have to worry too much. In that case, don't use a wildcard, use a single domain certificate, you're good to go. Or if you just have, you know, one or two or three subdomains, go ahead and take advantage of just locking down the fact that those handful of subdomains can be listed in a multi-domain certificate, and away you go and you're done. I guess what I would suggest is, if you know your structure and the structure is going to be static at least for 6 months to a year, go ahead and use that multi-domain certificate to basically whitelist, here are the fully qualified domain names that I'm going to allow. I won't allow anything beyond this by just getting a wildcard. In other words, I think you have to ask yourself, if you're getting a wildcard, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because somehow the structuring of your website is such that you create brand new fully qualified domain names on a daily basis? If that's the case, and that's really how you do your business, well, then a wildcard's for you, but you have to understand the risks.
Right. And that's where the risks kind of go up. I told an incident on one of our recent episodes about when we revoked a certificate for a phishing site, and the hoster published a Twitter post and they added us and they said, "Hey, Sectigo, by revoking this cert, you shut down 300 innocent websites." And my response to that is, well, why are you using the same wildcard on 300 websites that don't know each other, right? And I would propose that is a perfect example of misuse of that certificate, because the risk situation that it created, especially since you're letting people put up content that you don't even control, they're just putting up whatever content they put up. The risk situation there is completely untenable. You don't know what's going to happen that is going to mean that your certificate has to be destroyed at any given time. And as soon as that happens, all of these other sites go down who did absolutely nothing wrong, except arguably choosing the wrong hosting provider. So in that regard, you know, that is misuse for sure.
Let me, there's a few examples of where that's used, and it just, there's a lot of it out there. So let's call out some of it.
Sure.
CDNs. If you're a customer of a CDN, you might have a CDN certificate for your, you know, your origin server might have its own SSL certificate. But when you're then broadcast out of a CDN, the CDN is going to have its own certificate for you.
Right.
And it's very, very common for you to be, the certificate used for that, for you to be packed with many other subdomains of customers of that CDN, not just yourself.
Right.
And I've seen upwards of over 400 multi-SANs within a single certificate, which is just outrageous.
Yeah. Yep. Now, again, that CDN feels that they can manage it and feels that they can change out these certs in an automated fashion, you know, multiple times a day if need be. And if they can, then I suppose it can work. But if they can't, then they can be getting themselves, you know, into a bind.
Yeah, sure, Tim. I guess that this is exactly it. In a perfect world, who cares? Put 10,000, right? It's just a technology mechanism. But in the world of security, there's risks. And, you know, you would never, you know, there's a lot of things in life where we buy insurance because things go wrong. And, right. you know, thinking about a multi-domain certificate as just a, you know, a no-risk scenario for you is, it's that's probably a bit short-sighted. But, you know, it's not just CDNs, Tim. It's any kind of service. You know, you might, as a business, have training services for your employees, or you might have third-party websites set up for you by other vendors, you know, that will create a website on your behalf. They'll use your main domain, but they will create a brand new subdomain, you know, mypartner.yourcompany.com. And so therefore, it's not a site that you maintain. You hire out those services. But quite often, those services, again, when they issue an SSL certificate, they will pack your domain off with many other of their customers. And therefore, those might be risks that you're not even taking into account. In other words, what are your purchased vendor risks because of their multi-domain SSL certificate usage scenario? What are they doing? Those are questions you might want to ask, or in fact, check up on the CT log, because it'll tell you what you are actually, what you're actually bound with.
Yes, it will. Absolutely, it will. And also, that's where CAA comes into play again, because, you know, if you've got other people obtaining these certs for your domains, and you happen to have put in CAA rules, it's possible that your CAA rules will conflict with what they normally do, in which case there could be a deployment hiccup. So that's just, since you brought up CAA, that's another thing that could happen in that scenario.
Yeah, that's great, Tim. It's an interesting subject. You know, there's no clear-cut way of saying what you should or shouldn't do here.
Right.
But definitely it is. Understand your risks.
Yeah, absolutely. And a high level, what happens is you get more flexibility and agility for how to use your systems, especially in complex environments. And CDNs are that if you use multi-domain or wildcards. But you also increase the risk, not just the likelihood that there's a problem, but more than that, more importantly, the impact when there is a problem tends to go up greatly, right? And so, you know, that's the risk reward profile you need to think about. The last thing I want to bring up on this topic is, and this is just a reality that happens, a lot of people choose multi-domain certs or wildcard certs simply because they feel that it's cheaper, right? They say, oh, I'm going to need this much of this or this much of that, and it turns out it's cheaper to buy the wildcard, so I just buy the wildcard. And they're just plain doing it to save the bucks. And the only thing I'll offer on that is usually the bucks you're saving are not very much at all. You know what? I like to save a dollar as much as the next guy does. But you need to consider the risk that you're taking on for yourself. And if you're really doing this to save a few hundred dollars a year, which oftentimes is what we're talking about, I will ask, gosh, aren't there a lot of other ways your company can save a few hundred dollars a year that are less potentially consequential? And why don't you go do one of those instead? So, you know, that's just an important thing to consider when you're looking, you know, at the two items in your spreadsheet, and one has a lower dollar figure than the other. This is a true TCO situation where you really need to think about the total cost of ownership, not just what your outlay is going to be on the corporate credit card right now.
You know, Tim, I think there's another aspect to this which falls right off of what you just said, which is, you know, if you're a growing business, you anticipate having, you know, more than a few handful of fully qualified domain names within your web structure, then yes, it may cost you a little extra to get a few more single or multi domains down the road rather than that wildcard. But on the other hand, there used to be the issue of, well, now I've got to manually track all these certificates, and this just gets back to another theme of our podcast, which is certificate automation is just so important here. And that's a way to make this a moot point. If you've got more than a handful, all of a sudden the human brain has difficulty in dealing with remembering all the different certificates that you're going to have to remember about where they are and what domain names that they're actually associated with. But with modern forms of certificate automation, and the way you manage these things, that problem kind of goes away.
Yeah, and by the way, if that's why you're doing it, if you're getting multi-domain or wildcards simply because you want to reduce the number of renewal episodes that you have, remember that the risk associated with those renewal episodes just went up by the multiple of how many domains you're covering with that cert. So in the event that there is a problem, in the event that the cert is allowed to expire without being replaced for whatever reason, instead of losing one server, you just lost many more. And that's the, that's a variation on the same thing that we've been talking about, but you know, that's another way to think about it. If what you're doing is you're trying to reduce the number of times you have to touch a server, then there are better ways to do that today. 10 years ago, yeah, you're right. But now there are better ways to do that. And it's definitely about automation. And there are lots of automation options available out there.
So I guess, Tim, final thought from me here is there is value. There is security and risk mitigation value in explicitly stating to the world which fully qualified domain names that you want to expose to the world. And you do that by, you don't have to have a ton of certificates for that. You can do it in one or two or three within a multi-domain certificate. That's fantastic. It explicitly states which fully qualified domain names that are allowed. That there's many ways to handle that. And I think you can even be made very, very manageable. It's the wildcard search that we're worried about. Why would I use them? I would use them if I were a very, very mature organization that was right on top of all my risks. And my website structure was so variable on a daily basis that it's just untenable to maintain new certificates on a daily basis. That's the only scenario that to me that makes perfect sense. I think though that because of, I'm thinking right now of something like Let's Encrypt where you can get a wildcard certificate. That this is where I think as practitioners in the space, Tim, this is where we're looking and going, goodness, these things are probably being overused right now.
Yeah. I mean, they certainly are overused. Anecdotally, there's no question because we see these anecdotes all the time. It's hard to put a number on that because how would you measure that? But, you know, we do see examples of this really on a regular basis. And, you know, I think what we've talked about is a good way to think about it. You want to think about your ability to maintain your overall security, your ability to be very agile if something needs to happen with your certs very quickly. And you weigh that against the consequences of there being a problem or an outage or an expiration flaw, and then try to mitigate that as much as you can with automation, right? Which makes the need for multi-domain and wildcards go down. And that's probably, like as a general umbrella statement, that's the way to think about it, and that's the best practice.
That's it, Tim. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, listeners. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
This has been Root Causes.